So often our lives are full of activity, even ministry activity, that push Jesus to the side or push him out. Randall Thomas challenges us today in a special message to make room for Jesus. Thanks for joining us.
So, well, the last Sunday in this month, or this year, excuse me, and going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we might have done or didn't do this year, and maybe some of the things we got on our mind for next year. So just ask you to stand. We'll open with prayer and let you sit right back down, and let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. Now I pray your anointing once again on everything that I will be saying, dear God, that the words that I say, once they reach your heart, you'll have them arranged just the way they should be for each individual. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Remain standing. I'm going to read one verse. It's going to be in Luke chapter 2 in verse number 7. And you may be thinking, well, we're going to hear the Christmas story again. But no, we're going to try to go in a little different direction. But chapter 2 of Luke in verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You may be seated. You know, I meant to tell Pastor Amy, you know, she knows this, but I usually don't preach very long. And I say what I got to say, and then we're going to leave. But I was thinking about that when over in the other sanctuary, and I remember one Sunday that Daddy had asked me to preach, and I was standing at the back door, and usually everybody knows when I'm going to be up here because I got on a coat or a tie or whatever. And whoever it was then was over the children's ministry. Come by, I said, "Are you preaching today?" And this was for church. I mean, got close to even going back there. I said, "Yeah." And she turned and said, "Where are the kids? Get them on. Let's get them back there." They was going to get started early because they knew they weren't going to have time to do what they needed to do. But in this verse I read there towards the end, it says, because there was no room in the inn. And, you know, as Jesus entered this world, as it is so prevalent today, there was no room for it. And, you know, I was looking at this, and a lot of times the innkeeper may get a bad, a bad rap because he didn't throw somebody else out and let Mary and Joseph have a room. And, you know, where our mind, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the innkeeper. You know, it don't specifically say anything about the innkeeper, but you read into it. If there was an inn, there had to be somebody in charge of the motel, a manager of some sort, basically what it was. And as Mary and Joseph, as they approached and needed a place to stay, you know, in my mind, I was thinking as Joseph went to the door, whatever that might have been, a cave or whatever, you got to take it, go back to when this was wrote and when this happened. You know, he approached and said, "I'm here and we need somewhere to stay." And, you know, the innkeeper, you know, it says that the inn was full. So, you know, he was doing good. All of his rooms were rented. And as Joseph, you know, said, "You know, we need a place to stay." You know, the innkeeper, you know, I'm adding a lot to this. It's not here actually in the scripture. You know, would have said, "Sorry, but I have no room. There's no room here." And, you know, in Joseph's heart, you know, he knew his wife, Mary, was with child and would be giving birth any time. He said, "Sir, but you don't understand. We have to have somewhere to stay." And the innkeeper, the manager, the motel manager, whatever you want to call him, "Sir, we don't have any room." And, you know, as he probably, the innkeeper, turned away, said, "Sir, but you got to have something." And, you know, the innkeeper was, he didn't have to, you know, to stop what he was doing. I'm sure he was having a good time. You know, like I said earlier, all of his rooms were full. He was doing good. And as he looked at him, he said, "Sir, I don't have anything, but tell me, show you what I do have." And, you know, my mind, I thought, he said, "You see that cave over there or whatever?" You know, several different things I read. It could have been a cave. It could have been a structure of some sort. "That's all I got." and you're welcome to it. You know, Joseph's mind said, we'll take it. And keep said, there's probably some hay in the back. Make you a comfortable bed. That's all I got. Well, see, he didn't have to go that far. He could have said, I don't have anything. Go away. Everything's good in my life. You know, I don't need to be bothered with you. But he didn't. He made the right choice. He said, this is all I got. Joseph said, we'll take it. Not knowing, see, he didn't know that the Savior of the world was waiting to be born. And you never know how your choices are not only going to affect you, but how they're going to affect other people around you. So there was no room at the beginning of his life. And, you know, as this past year, I was thinking, you know, looking back on this year, I've got notes here. A lot of times I get so far ahead of my notes. If you've heard me preach for a while, I have my notes and I'll be, okay, where am I at? But I'm going to try to stay there today. Looking back this year, when you think about, you know, when the theme here was no room. How many times this year is, and I'm sure that the Holy Spirit already has got it in front of you, that he came to you and says, Randall, I need you to do this and so, whatever. I got a vacation I got to go on, Lord. I got work to do. I got this to do. I can't right now, but I'll get back to it. No room. How easy it is for us to say, no room. That's basically what we're saying. Lord, I don't have room for you. I don't have time for you. When the Lord comes to us and we're led by the Holy Spirit to witness to a certain individual, and, you know, when he puts it on our heart, Lord, you put them in my presence. You know, I'll do it. I want to do it. And that opportunity comes, and maybe you're alone with that individual, and well, you feel the Holy Spirit, you know, just, okay, now's your opportunity. Lord, I can't. And that opportunity it slips away, it's gone. No room. Lord, I'm sorry, I got something else to do. Or that fear. You know, fear is, you know, it's something that the devil uses against all of us. You know, as I was standing back there this morning, standing back there and talking to Brother Eddie, there was people coming in. It wasn't a whole big crowd. I said, okay, that's enough. We got enough here. We need to. And then y'all just kept coming. And I said, well, I mean, but, you know, fear, as Christians, it will destroy us if we allow it to. And I think that's one of the biggest guns the devil's got against us as Christians is fear. I can't do it, Lord. When those opportunities present themselves, Lord, I can't do it. As we look back this year, at those opportunities that we had, those choices that we made, were they good choices or bad choices concerning the kingdom of heaven? When God said, I need you. I need you. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And we keep saying, there's no room, Lord. No room. Why? For whatever reason, you know, we're too busy. Work. Some of us think that the place that we're employed will shut down and close the doors if we're not there. But I assure you, it's going to keep on going without you. At the times the years I've been at the gas company, and there's people that have so much knowledge and they do so much, and, you know, when we think they're going to leave and retirement or whatever, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, when they're gone, you know, who's going to fill those shoes? And, you know, not that they're not missed, it keeps right on going. Never misses a beat. We're so engrossed with our work sometimes. When the Lord says, I need you to do this. Well, I got an opportunity to work some overtime. I really need, no, the Lord says, I really need you to do what I want you to do. But so many times we override what the Holy Spirit needs us to do or wants us to do with what we feel like is the greatest need. What about our families? We get so involved sometimes in family. Like, and I'll add our recreation into family. I mean, just like Tim, look, he's off, took the whole half to church with him. I don't know if he's watching, but I hope he is. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Because there's going to be several times this year that I'm not going to be here on Sunday because we're going to be with family. We're either going to be up in the mountains or down at the beach. I can hear Daddy used to preach on that. You're either up in the mountains or down at the beach. But there's nothing wrong with that when you keep it. I mean, it's not every Sunday. But so many times people think that we think that family is a whole lot more important than this. And when it gets to the point that you're bowing to your family's needs more than where the Holy Spirit is leading you, that's a bad choice. When a ball game is more important than this, little Johnny or little Sue, they're going to be a superstar one day. Odds are, probably not. They may be good, but they're probably not that good. But I try to get me in here. We will sacrifice what the Lord wants us to do for one more ball game. Nothing wrong with ball games. I love them. I try to go to them whenever, as much as I can. Stayed up till midnight last night watching one. But when it becomes maybe your God or our God, it becomes, that's when God says, I can't bless that. And when we're looking back now on this year, when you look back through 2019, those decisions that we might have made, that we put some of this I just said ahead of what God wanted us to do. And the Lord's got that in front of us now, if that's the case. You know it. And if God keeps wanting you to, he keeps saying, do this or do that, and you keep saying no, each time you say no, I believe the next time it gets easier to say no, because you keep stepping away. It gets easier. When it don't affect you as much as it did the last time, I think we stop growing in the Lord. The Lord says, I need you. And we keep saying no. We get stale. We stop. We stop growing. As you look back right now, behind you this year, if you think of something now, the Holy Spirit showing you something, you know, it's not something that, you know, it's going anywhere. Holy Spirit says, you got to deal with this. He says, I want you to do thus and so, whatever it might be. You know, the Holy Spirit don't forget. If it's here, you got to deal with it. We got to deal with it. We got to make those right choices. Now we're going to turn to, we're almost into 2020. This year, this coming year, we'll say this year, I'm talking about 2020. Are you planning on now making room? You know, we make plans at the beginning of the year. Most everybody starts making plans. Most of the time it's to lose weight and exercise. Go ahead and mark those off. It ain't going to happen. Sounds good. We want everybody to think that's what we're going to do. but we all make plans. We plan. We plan everything. You planned on being here this morning. Beginning of the year, we're going to be planning, you know, our vacation. We're going to be planning on get-togethers we're going to have with families. We plan everything. We plan on eating. We plan meals. We plan everything. But when it comes down to our time we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, our time, I'm not talking about this is good, but I'm talking about our time, our personal time that I have studying God's Word. Why is it so hard to plan it, to set aside a time that says, no, don't. I'm going to leave my phone in another room. I'm going to turn off the television. Whatever it takes is to plan, to put that time aside, to say, no, this is my time with the Lord. Because just as soon as you do that, well, the devil's going to put everything that you like, everything that appeals to you is going to come up during that time. So to try to get you to say, well, I'll do it in the morning before I go to work. Well, what happens then? Well, I wake up and it's too early. Go back to sleep. Then you don't have time. You jump up and you don't have time to do it before you go to work. Lord, forgive me, I'll do it this afternoon. Well, this afternoon comes, and it's the perfect weather for hunting, fishing, playing golf, whatever you do. I'm sure the Lord will understand. And it keeps getting pushed off. But if it was something that we had actually set in our heart, and more than just a plan, that's saying, well, this is what I'm going to do, I think we would all this year, at the end of 2020, we could look back and say, thank you, Lord. I can see my spiritual growth in my life, because I had a plan and I didn't let the devil steal it from me. But he will if we allow him to. And it's getting ahead of myself. Choices. Our whole life is made up of choices. I choose to study my Bible. I choose to read my Bible. Or I choose not to. The things I just said, I made a choice to go do something else when I had already set the time aside to study God's Word. It's my choice. The Lord's not going to force me to sit down and read his word. It's my choice. Everything we do is basically a choice. We choose what we're going to wear. We choose everything. It's a choice. And if we think about it, that it's not somebody else because they called me and asked me to come somewhere or this came on. No, it's me. I'm the one that says, I don't have time. I have no room for you, Jesus. It comes back to me. And this year, if making plans, make those plans to say, Lord, as I look back on 2019, I didn't do a very good job doing what you wanted me to do. I didn't witness like you wanted me to. I can think of this instance, this instance, this instance where you wanted me to do this or do that. And I didn't do it. But this year, 2020, that sounds good, 2020. I'm going to do better. I want to do better. It's not that I'm just going to write something down like losing weight and exercising. No, I'm going to intentionally make a difference in my life that I'm going to do better for you, Lord. Only 3/4 of a page left. Everything that we do is choices. We say, that's a song that was singing a while ago, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. But when we say that, as we look at actually what we're doing, does our life show that? Could people that know us, that are around us, say, yeah, he says it and he walks it, or she says it, and yes, I could see it, she walks it? Or is it we sing it in here, I love you, Lord, but when we go out those doors, the world can't see it? It's our choice. We can choose to mouth it with our lips, or we can choose to live it with our lives. I mean, it's easy to say, I love you, Lord, in here. It's easy. I mean, everybody that comes through those doors this morning shook my hand, and they was happy. Everyone, I guarantee you, every one of you said, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. But if I asked your coworker, somebody outside of these doors, what would they say? As 2020 approaches, you know, we don't have to wait to make a decision to make a difference. To make a decision not only in someone else's lives, but in our lives. You know, we're, you know, called to spread God's word. And so many times that when we speak of that, people think that you got to be a preacher or a teacher. No. This is your out. Every day, God, I believe the Holy Spirit puts you in places and in situations so that you got two choices. You're going to do what the Lord wants you to do, or you're going to say no room. You say, but Brother Randall, what am I going to do? I made a few. How many times have you heard Pastor Tim say, we need some nursery workers. We need children's work workers. I mean, there's just, I mean, I've got several things wrote down here, but I don't have to go through all of those. If you make a decision to make a difference, there is something for you to do. And as I spoke earlier about the children's church, I take my turn back there. And occasionally, Pastor Amy, when she's out, she'll ask me to take her place. I mean, those of you that have kids, if you've never been back there, like now, back there when they're having the service, go out there and get you a chair and drag up there and just sit behind them and listen. Sometimes I can learn more back there than I can in here. Because it's simple. I get it. I mean, it's, you think that so many times, you know, there's some back there that you know, want to pull their head off. But they're getting it. Because a lot of times when you ask questions, you know, they'll be the ones that'll answer the questions. They're listening. And it's just great, you know, when you're involved with something like that, children's ministry, that you can see these little ones as they grow. And then he moved up to Patrick's class. I called Pastor Amy, and then I said, "Hey, Patrick." Not Pastor Patrick, but "Hey, Patrick." And me and him got something going with that. But, you know, you can see them as they grow. And just knowing that when they were back here, I may have had a little part in seeing them grow spiritually. Makes you feel good. You may say, "Oh, Randall, I can't get in front of people. I can't do anything like that. Just not made that way." Well, that may be the case. Some people can't. I thought I couldn't for years. I mean, coming through school, Randall wasn't fitting to get up in front of the class unless the teacher said, "You're going to come up here." The teacher might have asked, you know, "Raise your hand if you know the answer," whatever. I might have knew the answer, but I wasn't fixing to raise my hand. And you know, when the teacher starts looking around to call on somebody, I'm hiding behind two who's in front of me. This is not where I knew I couldn't do it. But see, it's not about us. God says, I thought I was going to get through without crying today. God says, "I can use you." If God says, "I can use you, I want you," that's all that matters. As a song says, while it goes, he goes before us. He fights our battles along the way. The war's already been won. When he says, "Go in there and witness to so-and-so," don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about who else is in there, wherever. Just go. Make that choice. Write it down in your heart now. "Lord, I choose to do what you want me to do." Now, as I said a while ago, that fear is going to come. The greatest weapon I think the devil's got is that fear. But when it comes against you, say, "No. Fear's got to go." Because if the Holy Spirit's leading me to go here, there's nowhere that can stop me. Holy Spirit says, "I've got you. I've got it made. Come on." It's those choices. This year, we're closing with this. Be the innkeeper. Make the right decision. No matter how well things are going in your life, just like the innkeeper, everything was going good. All of his rooms were rented. In your life, everything may be going perfect. The bank account's running over, got a great job, got a great family, everything's good. That's when it's very easy to say, "I don't think I'll do that. There's no room." Lord's warning, there's no room. But we, as the innkeeper, he made a difference. He said, "I'll take the time. This is what I've got. That'll do." When God says, "This individual needs someone to just speak a kind word," I got that, Lord. Right choice. Make the right choices. ask you to stand. You know everything I've said here this morning applies to only those that have been born again and serving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you've been listening and you said, oh, I've did this, I've served here, I've given this much money. But if you've never been born again and never asked Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sins, what I've said does not apply to you. Because that's step one. Is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must be born again. And as I say that, with that church lingo and people that maybe that have come in and, what are you talking about being born again? It's just asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins and accepting Him as your Savior. The altar's open this morning. If the Lord has showed you something that you need to work on this year, don't wait till January the 1st and say, I'll take care of it. Starting at the beginning, I'll wait till then. Because see, if you wait till then, January the 1st, guess what's going to happen? There's no room today. Maybe I'll get it. I'll wait till next Sunday. If you allow Satan to rob you of that, you will say no room all year. Make the right choice. Lord, I'll give you my time. I'll give you whatever you want. Make that choice. Amen.
At the end of a year, we often reflect on what our priorities have been and look forward into the new year to consider what our priorities should be. Take the challenge today and make sure that when Jesus comes knocking, that there is room for Him in your life. That's an intentional action to make room for Him, give Him our time, give Him our talent, give Him our treasure. Thanks, Randall, for challenging us this week. Have a great week.